always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Wednesday night, we are on Las Vegas Summer League Eve vibes right now. Yeah, I feel like a senior, like that, like those last couple of days of work before you go on vacation,
right?
You know? You just witnessed me very half-heartedly give Miles a good night kiss, couple of tickles, and it's like I just got to get through the next 48 hours. Raj, how you holding up, bud?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, just came back from the California Classic. Was in San Francisco for a couple of days for that, and becoming a city that's becoming more and more one of my favorite cities. Honestly, so it's been nice.
Phenomenal
to be able to go up
food city.
Oh, it's amazing. You know how? So I don't know if you have. So I don't know where you have family like spread out to the United States, but
everywhere. I am Mexican. We are rabbits.
Okay, so you know when like someone tells you, "Yeah, come anytime," right? So like, don't test me. I'm gonna use that. And so yeah. I was like, "Yeah, my mom's like, you're going again. We were just there 2 months ago." I was like, "They said come anytime." So, so could tell this time it was like, all right. So I spent another 3 days there, but no, it was fun. So it was nice, and I'm excited. That was kind of the precursor now to Vegas that's coming up this week, which is always a great time and something I look forward to every year. But yeah, I'm good. I'm excited, and we have some really fun young guys, and looks like we might add another young guy in a few days. So we'll see.
Maybe we'll see. Are you hinting that Jonathan Kuminga might play at Summer League if they get this done in time?
Right. Yeah. My favorite Summer League thing was seeing Hugo Gonzalez on the Celtics Summer League roster. That made my day today. It was just all reports. He was the final kind of back off Giannis. All right. We're not giving up Hugo Gonzalez. And it was listed on the Summer League roster. Just perfect. Made my day.
Yeah, it was. It cracked me up. Your quote tweet cracked me up. I meant to retweet it, and then Miles ran into the house, ran into my room, and had that smell to him. And I was like, "Got to handle that." And then I forgot to get back to it. But yeah, it was that made me laugh audibly when I saw that Hugo Gonzalez is not good, too valuable, too good to be included in a Giannis Antetokounmpo trade.
Yeah.
And like not including Hugo Gonzalez in that trade immediately led to needing to trade Jaylen Brown
for right.
Paul George. Yeah.
doesn't make any sense at all. I do want someone other than THT to be the representative of the player that's not good enough to skip Summer League yet shows up as if he's. I want someone new in that spot. But that video pops up every year of when a player decides not to play Summer League. It's just THT walking in, dabbing up all the players. Saying, you know, break a leg, you know, like do your thing. And he goes and sits in the crowd. It's just, it's the
there perfect. Were signs is all I'm going to say.
Just signed a 3-year deal.
So today on the show, we're going to be talking about Jonathan Kuminga. We're going to be talking about this roster as it is currently composed and constructed and the directions that it still might be heading in. Like Raj said, the Lakers have a very interesting Summer League team. It always strikes me like, you know, because Rob Pelinka is infatuated by the point guard position. But he seems to have zero instincts whatsoever on like non-superstar point guards, right? Like Luka Doncic, incredible point guard, engine of an offense, right? Like that's a can't miss type of talent. But the number of swings that Rob takes, whether it be draft picks, summer league roster spots, all of these things. And his inability to employ point guards is crazy to me. And this summer league team kind of jumps out as the latest example of that, because you have really interesting bigs and really interesting wings and that other part. So we'll talk a little bit about what we're looking forward to and what we've already seen from some of these guys. Cam Carr, was my reaction like the reaction I had on the show? Was it worthwhile for?
It was actually not enough. Honestly, like there needed to be backflips and things going on.
On the air.
Yes, yeah. On the air. I still would like to know. I haven't got a good answer.
Podcaster dies on the air.
Right.
Select his.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it, but I don't follow the draft. I'm pretty open about that. So I would still haven't got a good answer of why he fell to us at that number at 24. I still don't understand it. That dude is
my semi-educated theory is that there was some maneuvering.
Okay. This was self done so he could drop to the Lakers. Okay. That makes some sense. But even with that being the case, he seems like a lottery type talent that fell.
That was my reaction on the show, is that like this dude was later lottery or whatever, but he was considered a lottery day talent and a lottery type talent. And absolutely blew me away that the Lakers landed him. And then for I was watching and Jen's like, babe, it's summer league. Why are you bouncing on your seat? I'm like, have you watched any of this? Like, are you watching this kid? Unbelievably smooth, really fun prospect. So we'll talk a little bit about him, what we've seen from Madu Thiro, all of that good stuff. Before we fully dive in, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications to the show. If you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably Odyssey, but I truly do not care where you get them. And then if you guys are interested in partaking, use the promo code HMA on Prize Picks and make a $5 lineup of your own. And if you do those things, you will get $50 worth of lineups by way of Prize Picks. Today, man, there was no World Cup games today. We had gone 28 straight days of there being World Cup soccer games. I woke up and was like ready to, look at the slate to see what teams I was going to be, leaning towards and stuff like that. And I looked and was like, damn, nothing. This is what summer usually feels like. I just didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah.
So fortunately they're back tomorrow. There's obviously plenty of other things to do. Dodgers are a fun team to back on Prize Picks, but it is today was a harsh reminder of the summers that we usually have. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in, Raj, with the latest rumors and reports surrounding Jonathan Kuminga, the Lakers' attempts to get him, some of the other targets that the Lakers might be interested in. Kobe Price of the California Post, which is an affiliate of the New York Post, obviously. He had a great amount of reporting on the subject, a lot of clarity that he offered up there. And according to Kobe, the Lakers are interested in Jonathan Kuminga, something we knew already. They and the Hawks have been working on a sign and trade, and the package that Kobe outlined was of Jared Vanderbilt and the 2032 pick swap, which is the only pick swap the Lakers have left. And for that package, the Lakers would get Kuminga back. And as of right now, the Lakers are offering Kuminga a contract in the realm of $10 to $11 million a year. If this does go down as a sign and trade, the Lakers would have to sign Kuminga to at least a 3-year deal And then, you know, because it's Rob Pelinka, there would probably be a player option at the end of that one. So far, Kuminga's camp has not been very interested in that deal, seeing as they have turned down much more fruitful contract extensions in the path that led them to here. Kobe Price also mentioned that the Lakers have kicked the tires on PJ Washington, but that his four-year, $88 million contract gives them pause. That didn't make very much sense to me, given that the Lakers have handed out four-year contracts to basically every other rotation player that they have this year. So Raj, where do you want to start on this? Do you want to start on Jonathan Kuminga versus PJ Washington? Do you want to start with Jonathan Kuminga specifically? Do you want me to scream into the microphone at Rob Pelinka for forcing us to be in a position where we have to wait for Jonathan Kuminga? Well, where do you want to start?
You do the latter part 5 days a week. We can pause on that. We can pause on that part of it. I don't think
seven if you don't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm giving you weekends off.
And there's seven. Right. Yeah. And I just say it into my pillow.
Exactly. Yeah. Text messages and all that.
Jonathan Kuminga.
So I don't think Kuminga versus PJ Washington is a conversation. Like, to me, those two are not comparable players. PJ Washington has shown just much more as being a winning player, contributing towards winning and success for a team, than Jonathan Kuminga ever has. So, like, I put that separately. The contract thing is what it is. It's a little pricey, but I think that's just the cost of a two-way wing. So that part I don't really understand. But I think with Kuminga, if you're going to take shots on these type of players, that is the type of player you go get. Now, I think there is some, I'm sure, negotiation on the contract. I think 10 to 12 makes a lot of sense. I understand Kuminga's camp and his agent has been very loud from the beginning, not just this summer, but
previous, for like 5 years.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So his agent is not shy about telling the situation of what's going on. And I honestly think to the detriment of Kuminga, I don't think that helps his situation of telling the story. But Kuminga's 24 years old, number 7 overall pick a few years ago, a ton of talent. And I think the sell is, hey, we're going to put you in spots where all you have to do is finish. We don't run the same system as Steve Kerr. It's not a bunch of split screens. You're going to have the chance to handle the ball in a lot of possessions and a lot of lineups. You'll get plays run for you. And there's no complications to the offense, to where I think in Golden State there was some of that. There was obviously disagreements with him and Steve Kerr. So I like the Kuminga addition, especially if it's just second rounders and like Laravia or Dalton or Vando are going out. That makes a lot of sense. The first round pick swap is a little expensive, but I would understand it because you're also getting off of Vanderbilt. But I'm not super high on Kuminga. Again, he hasn't really shown much towards winning. He's been a pretty average to below average 3-point shooter for his career. But I do believe in the athleticism in a guy that if you can get him locked in on a winning team, I think you can, you know, find some fruit in that. But and that's the type of guy you'd have to go for, like the Derrick Jones type of just super athlete that you put alongside two high volume scoring point guards who are going to create everything. I like it if that's the package. But at like 15 to 20 million, that's a lot for a guy who, again, his incumbent team is
saying, especially if it involves a 3-year deal, because you're talking about like the
3 years, but only one has to be guaranteed, right? So it can be a 3-year deal, like all these signings. Like Quentin Post signed a 3-year deal, but it was, I think, the first year is guaranteed. So you can do that with Kuminga. Again, can you get him to agree to that? That's the next question. But I think you can, if you can get him on a 1 year, one plus, you know, the two that are, you know, non-guaranteed deals, that's something that can be in the works too.
I'm not here to question reporting or anything like that, but I do think that the Lakers' concerns with PJ Washington extend beyond the contract. That it's not just that it would you know cost that much to employ him, but the price to acquire PJ Washington I think is quite a bit higher than the price to acquire Jonathan Kuminga is. You're probably talking about like actual second round draft capital and the pick swap to get PJ Washington. Whereas mm-hmm. with Jonathan Kuminga, you're just trading, you know, Jared Vanderbilt in a pick swap. So I think that's part of the conversation that's going on internally for the Lakers right now. That's at least my read of the situation. But I had also seen there was some noise about Jake being involved in one of these trade packages. Asked around about that. Wasn't able to confirm any of that. But yeah, here's my thing, Raj. And this is probably the Lakers can technically take back more money in a trade.
Yes.
So this wouldn't limit them to just this deal. But one of the thoughts that I had over the course of the day was I would much rather trade Jaden Hardy and the pick swap for Jonathan Kuminga than Jared Vanderbilt. I don't think it's very close. Because you already employ Colin Sexton. I don't see the point in employing Colin Sexton and Jaden Hardy, but that's just me.
Well, I don't think you can do that anymore. Jaden Hardy cannot be aggregated in a trade, so he can only go out, if I'm understanding the
on
situation.
His own, yeah.
On his correctly.
Well, because I think you'd be able to fit Kuminga at the 10-ish million dollar number.
I see.
That the Lakers are offering. It'd be close. I think it's like 9 and some change, maybe. It's like, but I think it's like 20%. So 20% of 8 is like 1.5 or whatever it is. So it's like it would be just lower or whatever. And I guess technically the Lakers just have to be under the cap before that trade goes down to be able to, you know, aggregate Hardy in a trade or something that Jovan was talking about in our group text. My thing though is just like, just in general, we'll talk about Hardy, I guess, in a second, but I just really don't like that he is sticking around. This is like one of those moments that I really feel like an asshole about, because he's like clearly really excited to be a Laker, you know? He's got the balloons waiting for him. He's like sending out pictures of himself in the jersey, and you know, they had like the welcome mat there for him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yay. another tiny guard who doesn't defend.
Yeah. Yes,
that's what the Lakers need.
I mean, he would make a lot more sense. He's not good enough to be this player yet, at least not yet, but it would make a lot more sense if Colin Sexton wasn't already on the team, right? So Sexton fills the combo guard that's a bucket that, you know, can give some reps from Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. But Jaden Hardy really doesn't help in that and doesn't contribute anywhere else defensively. One of the worst defenders, at least by the numbers that it's shown. Yeah. So I think he's really just a contract right now. We'll see if he can, former Luka teammate as well, I believe, in Dallas. So we'll see if he wins minutes here and there. And you never know with injuries, guys can be useful. But yeah, the $6 million deal, that's a very tradable deal. And it's basically just an expiring. And the Lakers picked up 2 second rounders to do it. You mentioned a little bit just recently, you said, you know, it'd probably cost the first and second rounders to get PJ Washington. I would do that right away. I would do that today.
Me too. Yeah, I think it's stupid that they're debating it. Like, because
you said he would cost more than Kuminga. Yeah. Like, we don't have much in any way. And so, like, I would do that deal today and go get the starting forward. And now you have Luka, Austin, PJ, Kessler, fill in the fifth, whoever you want that to be. Grimes, I'm guessing, would fill in there. That's a really good starting lineup. And I'm not sure if that's enough to, you know, pry away PJ from Masai Ujiri. But that's a deal I would definitely do. And again, the 4 years doesn't scare me. I understand for the Lakers, a little bit from the Lakers' perspective, like, hey, maybe that's not the guy they fully believe in at that spot. But my God, that's a really nice team. And again, fits the age core that you're looking for, 27 years old, same age as Mamu and the other guys that they've gotten. So, I'm confused on that part of it. Kuminga, I understand as a, hey, let's give him a chance. You know, hey, like, if it doesn't work here for you, you're going to have trouble. You're going to be collecting minimums very soon. Like
he's on the Cam Reddish path. Like, you know, he's accomplished more, but he's on the Cam Reddish path.
Yeah. Well, that path, he's a little bit before that path has got, you know, got really narrow really quickly. But Kuminga, I think at least still has, he's shown more usefulness as a player than Cam Reddish has, but the 15, 20 million, that just doesn't make sense. I don't think that's his market. Who knows? Maybe the Cavs decide if LeBron goes elsewhere, let's just pay Kuminga. That's another kind of thing that they're waiting to drop. But that's where I'm at on the Kuminga thing. If you can get PJ Washington, though, like, what are we talking about here? What are we even discussing? This Kuminga versus PJ Washington to me is not even a conversation, but I think they want Kuminga on. To your point, you can get him probably for less assets and keep the pick swap in your pocket now or to the deadline.
Yeah, I also, like, if you were to... We've been covering Rob Pelinka for a little while now, right? And which player screams Rob Pelinka to you more here? Jonathan Kuminga, PJ Washington. Like, PJ Washington, like, PJ Washington is perfectly solid, you know, like a legitimately solid wing who you just kind of sort of know what you're going to get on a night by night basis. He is, you know, he's I'm not going to use the spaghetti analogy again, but like, he's the known, like, right. He's like the, it's like, the Family Guy thing, right? On one side here, I have a boat. On the other side here, I have a box. But there could be a boat in the box, you know? Yeah, and that's what Kuminga is. Like, Kuminga is this mystery box that Rob has probably convinced himself. Yeah, we can turn this guy into the best version of himself, and he has all these physical tools. He's an unquestionably talented player. But so was Cam Reddish, and the Lakers didn't get anything from him. And so was DeAndre Ayton. And the Lakers, after a year of him, were like, we need a serious center. You know, like, if the Lakers had a track record of actually flipping these really talented young players and turning them into the best version of themselves, I'd be like, yeah, let's see what Jonathan Kuminga could become. But given that, like, Luka's already done a ton of winning with PJ Washington, yeah, and that, like, the fit is clearly there. To me, like you're saying, it should be a no-brainer. I do find it interesting because Hardy sticking around to me feels like something that, you know, might be a little favor to Luka. Something he might like. They were apparently close there in Dallas and all of that good stuff. And I find it interesting that I wonder, like, how hard Luka's pushing for PJ Washington. You know, like, you would think that going out and getting Luka's former teammate here would make it even more of a slam dunk. So I said this yesterday on the show, and I continue to, I think it's a really important point to continue to rehash. Rob Pelinka, Masai Ujiri are two very large egos who love negotiating with each other, but do not make deals with each other. It just hasn't happened. They're always on the phone with each other. They're always, like, they're in constant contact about these things. And it just, they have not made a deal with each other because they are really, really focused on getting one up on another. So, that I think is playing a factor here too.
They did make a draft day deal. Would point that out. So they have traded with each other, you know, recently. They made a second round draft pick trade. But I see your point of, yes, they have not worked together on a legit, you know, NBA deal. I think the closest was THT for Kyle Lowry or something like that. I think KCP was involved in that deal. But I think that makes a lot of sense. It depends what direction Dallas is going